There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Jeff Schwartz will join us later to talk NFL draft. His thoughts on the NFL draft. Again, I got seven bets now, a week, 8 days out now? Seven bets. I think I'll have eight by tomorrow. Every time I think I'm done, I add a couple. We'll find out what Jeff's thinking about the draft, which is as nebulous as they come. Too many mocks. Too many people have mocks, Jeff. It's mock season.
Mockery.
It is a mock. Well done. Well done, Jeff Parlay. And Daniel Jeremiah's final mock is only the eve up, so that's not going to help us. Oh, we need guidance. And a little later on, Brady Cannon as well, joining us on PGA. He'll be in studio. Ladies and gentlemen, from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, he's the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast, the great Jason Weingarten, everybody. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Nice to be here.
Yeah, man. Long time no see. Feels like it's been a long time no see, but I guess I saw you last week. Let me ask you about Gerrit Cole last night. Gerrit Cole goes an inning and two-thirds against the Detroit Tigers. 68 pitches. We were on air, but we're sort of, you know, distracted by the screens, and so we were watching it. And we had Joe Sheehan on, and I asked Joe Sheehan the question that, you know, is the typical way over reaction question, which is, hey, I mean, is this a thing with Gerrit Cole? But what I tried to do is extend it back to last year, and of course, the sticky substance matter. And if you look at Gerrit Cole's, you know, performance since then, he ain't Gerrit Cole. The Gerrit Cole we used to know before the $324 million contract was signed. And he wouldn't be the first player to melt under the lights of New York City. I get last night's game was not in New York City, but you get what I mean. A free agent that goes or a trade that brings someone to New York City. Where do you stand on Gerrit Cole? And do you feel his prices when he's on the mound are generally exaggerated?
I don't know that his prices are too exaggerated based off a couple bad starts to start the season. The home runs worry me just from a Cy Young standpoint. I've kind of dropped him a little bit in my numbers just based on his propensity to give up home runs recently. That's going to hurt him. But yeah, you're definitely onto something with the sticky stuff or lack of you know, help there for guys like him. It wouldn't surprise me if he still is a top line, you know, front line starter the rest of the season, but I'm not anticipating him winning the Cy Young or being a serious contender at this point.
So William Hill has put out, they've already started to put out adjusted season win totals in Major League Baseball, which I think is awesome. Right, that they will do that either every day or they will periodically put them out as the season goes on. How deep into a season do you think you'd want to go before you take a look and jump into those? I would assume it's not 10 games. When do you think might be the time to jump in?
I mean, people really like to draw assumptions from performance over 10 games, and I always say that if it supports my narrative, then it's significant early, and if it doesn't, then it's small sample size. But there are definitely some conclusions that can be drawn after about 10 games. Like, for example, the Reds are very bad, and they might win a couple games here and there, but I don't expect them to get, you know, meaningfully better over the course of the season. So it really, you know, it really depends what assumption you're attempting to draw on what team. If you're really confident that a number, you know, needs to be adjusted or has been over adjusted, then there's probably some value in those markets. I have to take a better look at that stuff. I haven't seen the adjusted win total numbers at Will Hill, but I know that Will Hill's goal is to keep these markets up as long as possible. So it's interesting that we have these new in-season markets to look at.
And good on them. Good on them for doing it, right? Like William Hill under new management. Good on them for putting those up. I know that they're there. I haven't delved into them either. Too busy making NFL draft assessments. Do you bet the NFL draft? And if so, what bets do you have so far?
I bet a little bit, mostly just because I don't have the access to, you know, a bunch of books that have good numbers on this stuff. And it's really, like everything, it's numbers dependent. So I have a couple bets. I bet the over wide receivers in the first round. I got like -180 on 5.5 or something. I think it's moved a bit. I have the unders on Sauce Gardner and the LSU cornerback
Derek
to go.
Stingley. Wow, we're in alignment on all three of these. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a long shot, relatively long shot for first overall. I have 3-1 on Walker. I don't know if you bet anything. I know
I didn't do anything with the first pick, but yeah, it's come down on Hutchinson for sure. -165 was the lowest I see now.
Yeah, I wouldn't pile into the favorite for the first overall pick early. You know, that tends to be the kind of market where you're very confident that one guy is going to be the pick up until the day before the draft, when the draft pick gets traded or something leaks, and then you're stuck holding a bad number. I have Malik Willis to be the first quarterback drafted. Is that still a thing? Is he still number one quarterback?
He is still the number one quarterback. But it is so indicative. Like, you know, Drew Dinsick was on yesterday. He's a big NFL draft guy. We're going to do the NFL draft pod on Monday, beating the book pod. And he was even saying, like, yesterday, the topic sentence was, I was like, what's your favorite bet of all the ones you have? He's like, I don't have a favorite. And it really does come down to the fact that the very first pick in the draft has all of a sudden become a bit vague. That will determine probably what Detroit will be at, too, because if you know, if Jacksonville doesn't take Aiden Hutchinson, I can't imagine Detroit not taking him, being a Michigan kid at number two. If they do, if Jacksonville does take Aiden Hutchinson, then Detroit has 2 and 32, right? So then you start to get into this whole thing, and this is what makes this draft unique. You have 8 teams that have 2 picks in the first round. That's a quarter of the league. It's never happened before. 6 is the previous record. And so with that, you have to try to assess. 232 might be too wide of a gap to maybe it's not the best example, but there's some teams that have 410, right? You just have to figure out what is their strategy on, you know, because if Detroit figures they can get a quarterback at 32, like a Desmond Ridder, maybe they like Desmond Ridder just as much as they like Malik Willis, well, then they probably won't use why use the quarterback, you know, the second pick for a quarterback. So it's all of those little assessments you're going to have to make this year. With 8 teams having that issue, or embarrassment of riches in the first round, but it kind of sucks for our betting. So it's a lot of, if this happens, then this should happen. Like the Texans at 3, why would they even bother using that pick? They have a need everywhere. So it's like they should trade that down. And then once you start getting into trades, you can't predict anything. And Drew said yesterday, the 4th pick, and this will be the last thing I say about this, the 4th pick, he says, if you can unlock what the Jets are going to do at 4, you'll go a long way towards solving this draft. So all of that to say, God help us all. This might be, it's the irony of books here in Las Vegas waiting the longest to put them up is that they probably will have their most successful draft.
Yeah, I think the later you wait to put a lot of this stuff up, the better informed the line's going to be. Unfortunate for us, the bettors. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking, like when Circa has the props up, I'm interested in like quarterback position over-unders. Matt Corral's a guy I'd look to fade still.
Yeah, But I wonder if a team like New Orleans will become sort of interested in him. I believe it's 22 where they pick. Oh, they have a couple picks themselves.
I just don't think that my thing is, I don't think a lot of these guys have legit first round grades for their spots, like quarterback wise. They're
right.
Corral's not a first round quarterback. Like, I don't like to talk bad about players for no reason, but like, if I was in the draft room, I'd say, why are we wasting a first round pick on this guy? This isn't a first round quarterback. This guy's going to start 10 NFL games if we're lucky.
Well, I mean, there are people who know college football a lot better than you and I who are guests on this show who are like, none of these five guys, none of these.
Yeah.
I mean, if this were honestly, like, they should never be picked high in a draft. But you know how teams go quarterback crazy. Again, my North Star, I'll say it again, I'll say it once a day. My North Star on my bets has been the Daniel Jeremiah comment of, look what's happening with, you know, these middling wide receivers currently getting $10 million a year. The Christian Kirks of the world and the Zay Joneses of the world getting $10 million a year. It's never been more important for teams to have rookie contract control over wideouts, and quarterbacks, of course, follow suit, which is why, and you have these bets too, I have the over six on wide receivers at plus 140 and the over three on quarterbacks at minus 115. That's why I make those bets, because the one thing that I do think I know of all of this is that's always going to be a priority for those teams, quarterbacks and wide receivers, because, and Deebo Samuel yesterday, he's like, hey, I don't like my contract. I want out of San Francisco. So these GMs have to be thinking to themselves, why do I want to deal with this? Let me just grab someone that I can control for 4 years. I mean, that's
yeah, I mean, it's also just a matter of fact that, like, the first round of the NFL draft, your goal is to find guys with the highest upside, the highest potential to become superstars. And guys who can play, you know, guard or center or linebacker or whatever, you could find serviceable guys like that in the second, third, fourth, seventh round. You know, there are guys that grade out fine that'll be available in the second half of the draft. The first round, and, you know, more so lately the second round, but always the first round, the goal is to find playmakers, to find difference makers, to find guys that can actually move the needle. Because I've talked about it a lot, especially on my podcast when I talk about NFL. It's about playmakers. There's only 10 or 15 guys in all the NFL who actually matter. The rest are all replaceable.
Jason, can you hang out a little longer?
Absolutely.
Come back after the break. More with Jason Weingarten, the host of the Wide World of Weingarten podcast. Coming back on the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN is all in for the draft next week in Las Vegas. We got special draft preview show this Sunday at 6 p.m. Tim Murray and Sean King. They'll break down all the first round prospects and props, and expert guests will include legendary broadcaster Brent Musburger, former NFL GM Michael Lombardi, former NFL lineman and TV host Mike Golic, and his son. VSiN's draft preview special this Sunday at 6 p.m. exclusively on VSiN. Don't forget to download our NFL draft betting guide featuring best bets, mock drafts, and everything you need to score big this draft season. Download it today for just $10. Go to VSiN.com/draft for more information. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets. There's about, you know, 50, you know, tweets about the Woj segment earlier, and all in support in varying degrees of aggression on the support. We do have one dissenting opinion. This is from Kevin Andrus. Woj's burner account. I'm kidding, Kevin. It's not Woj's burner account. I know it's you. Kevin Anders, who said, love you, bro. But Woj's point was the interactions between players and fans is only going to get worse as betting becomes more accessible during events. Kevin, I have problems with your premise, but let's just go with what you're saying. If that was Woj's only point, why bring betting into it at all? I don't understand why he would even do that then. In other words, you have to ask yourself, who is Woj in Woj's head? What is he thinking? Who is he thinking he's appealing to? A boss of his? Did someone put that in his head? Jeff, you had some thoughts on this.
His bosses clearly are not putting that in his head, knowing ESPN's deals with Caesars. But you have to imagine that came from someone in a league office or a player.
Somebody.
Like, it came from some that side of the ledger.
Yeah.
Woj didn't come up with that on his own. There's no way.
Adrian Wojnarowski. We'll have the video of that, of course, on Visa.com once the show is put up. Jason Weingarten joins us once again. Wide World of Weingarten, which comes to us how many days a week, Jason, these days?
Approximately five, although the 5 days tend to change. You know, sometimes on a weekend I'll pop one out, but, you know, we get about five a week, hopefully.
You'll pop one out. It's a given birth to a podcast episode. Okay, baseball today. What do you like? What have you bet?
I bet the Yankees today, Luis Severino pitching. I think I got about 170 there. I'm mostly waiting for some hits, runs, errors lines to open. They're not all up yet. But have you noticed home runs are down almost like a full percent?
Yes. And so my question to you would be, all right, is something afoot here? And if something is afoot, let's say with the baseball, why would they do that?
Well, I mean, I would say based on 10 games, it looks like the ball has been deadened slightly year over year, but I can't confirm that. You know, I could just tell you what I've seen. And it does seem that there's less home runs, less cheap home runs, mm-hmm. as there have been in past years. And I watched a video yesterday of you know, all the home runs hit on whatever it was, Tuesday or whatever. Seems mostly like the power hitters are the guys hitting home runs, you know, the big body guys, which really does make me think the ball's been deadened a little bit. And I'm fine with it personally. I don't have a problem with a dead ball. I think it makes the game go slightly faster. It, I think the home runs, just you get too many home runs, it just makes betting not so fun. You know, you just get so much variance with men on base.
Yeah, my point was more of an attraction of fans to generations kind of thing. But you're right. From a betting standpoint, it harnesses it better for us, right? We can wrap our arms around it that much more incrementally.
Yeah, and I mean, baseball clearly has a pace of play problem. When the games get over 3 hours, I'm basically done in my head. You know, these four-hour games are not going to fly long-term. They don't fly with the viewers. They don't fly with... You know, the audience declines over time. The interest is not there at the end of the game. You know, baseball has a serious problem with pace of play. I would say that the ball being deadened probably most likely has to do with the upcoming free agent classes and the fact that, you know, some of the headline players in these classes, the Juan Sotos of the world, are going to, you know, ask for $500 million mm-hmm. or record-setting numbers. And the higher the offensive numbers are, the more money you're going to see these players ask for. So,
oh, interesting. Yeah.
Baseball has an incentive to have a dead ball, you know, but that's me being a tinfoil hat man there. So.
I like when you're tinfoil hat man. That's my favorite version of Jason.
Yeah, just because I'm crazy doesn't mean I'm not right.
That's right. Doesn't mean you're wrong. But let me ask you this. I don't know if you and I have had this discussion before, because next year, right, is when the pitch clock thing will come in. Is that a done deal, or is that just sort of on
the
table?
Yeah, they just implemented it in AAA this last week or so.
Okay, to really good pace of play results, right? It's shaving off a bunch of, like, 20 minutes a game or something like that.
There was a game yesterday that ended in under 2 hours, which if we can get every baseball game 2 hours, come on.
Are you kidding me? That's the greatest thing ever. But here's
speed the stuff up.
Here was my point about the pitch the pitch clock, because I keep saying pitch count, I'm sorry, pitch clock. I believe that the institution of the pitch clock will have massive effects late in games. So in other words, these guys that first of all, everybody's throwing like 96, 97, 100 now. It's like every human being throws at a ridiculous number these days. But, you know, the relievers, the closers specifically, who rely on velocity like that, when you have a pitch clock, you can't really catch your breath after that. So remember, like, Aroldis Chapman, when he was the only guy throwing 100, right? He'd throw his pitch, he'd circle the mound, you know, he'd get all ramped up, he'd rest, he'd take a breather, then he'd fire his second pitch when he was ready, or a subsequent pitch. With a pitch clock, that goes out the window. So I really do think, and this is well in advance of it happening, obviously, but I think it's an interesting discussion of, I do think that you will see an explosion of hitting late in games once that's instituted. That's my working theory, anyway.
Yeah, I could definitely see guys the pitch clock stuff having, you know, an effect on velocity and guys not having time to recover in between pitches, leading to you know, slightly lower velocity. I'd really like to see how it actually plays out at the minor league level for another week or two, but it does seem that scoring was slightly down, the games were faster. I mean, I'm all for making the games go faster. It's unbearable. And some of these Angels games I've watched this year go 4 hours. I don't want to watch a 3-hour Angels game.
It's brutal, and we love baseball, and we don't want to watch it.
There's just no action.
Right.
There's no action for, you know, and sometimes I'll be looking at a box score and I'll go do something else and I'll come back and I'll be like, it's still the same inning.
I know. It's horrible. There was some inning last night. We were like, are they still in the top of the, like, oh my God.
Let's just roll it. Let's just speed this thing up. Come on.
One, you know, I was just thinking about random text exchanges that we've had. I'll try to stick to ones that are pertinent. But the comment you made, and we've had some variation of this discussion over the years, which is, well, looks like another year where you're going to have to play a lot of really ugly dogs in baseball games. Oh, fun. Have you found that to be the case so far?
Yeah, slightly. I mean, I think we were talking about Oakland in particular, because I was very anti-Oakland before the season. And, you know, I mean, a lot of my anti Oakland stuff comes from the fact that they're just not invested in their payroll. You know, they're in a league where teams are spending, you know, infinite money. They have less of a yearly budget than the Dodgers spend every month. You know, and as I learn more about European soccer and British soccer, as I've been doing recently, you know, the A's would be relegated at this point for not being competitive with the rest of the league. But for some reason in America, we just allow teams to continue to be mediocre and not spend money and take public money for stadiums, which I think is absolutely egregious. But regardless of what I think about Oakland, they just go out there and, you know, Cole Irvin and Paul Blackburn and guys, I'm like, who, what? These are the starting pitchers, mm-hmm. and somehow they get 6 innings and, you know, 8 strikeouts out of these guys on a regular basis. So, you know, far be it from me to argue with the team that's had that much sustained success while cutting every corner financially for the last decade plus.
Yeah, Billy Beane might know a thing or two. All right, so just the Yankees at this point today? Is that the only one?
Yeah, just the Yankees. I'm waiting, like I said, the hits, runs, errors lines. Actually, the A's is one of my hits, runs, errors plays that I'm looking for. If I can get like 25 or 26 would be cool. I guess it's probably gonna be like 25 and a half.
You want to go?
Yeah, just waiting for some of these places to open.
You want to
back in that morning routine, waiting for props to go up.
You want to go under on the A's? Is that what you're looking
to
do?
Yeah, under on the A's.
Under on the A's. Okay, when Hits, Runs, Errors comes out, just another market that Jason Weingarten might be exploiting in baseball. Wide World of Weingarten, 5 times a week or thereabouts. Jason, we appreciate it as always, man. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. I'll be on Will Hill's CityCast after this, recording that in about an hour.
Bang! Plug for Will Hill's New York CityCast. Wherever podcasts are distributed. Coming back with Brady Cannon next on The Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay here as well. Jeff, so in the end, none of us have any pre-flop plays on any of these three NBA games tonight. And maybe for me, maybe it's for the best, because I couldn't have read that Minnesota game more incorrectly last night. Nothing for you?
No.
Yeah.
No, I did the Philadelphia-Toronto game is the most difficult on the board.
I don't like that.
Because
yeah,
we need to see what Philadelphia looks like without Thybulle. And
Philadelphia could roll them again.
And also, too, Gil, on normal just series patterns, as we've seen through time and time, this is the game the home team usually gets after losing the first two on the road. So it's a really hard game, but everything we've seen in that series, Philly's just way better.
And Milwaukee, I'm not getting in front of them, even though Chicago gave them a run. And then Brooklyn, Boston, just sit back and enjoy. Maybe some live betting for Brooklyn.
I think that's
Boston.
The game you could pick on live betting-wise. Yeah. Even though, again, if Brooklyn's the team that's getting blown out, they might just give up and head home.
Man, can't wait for that tonight. Game two. Brady Cannon is here, ladies and gentlemen, co-host of the greatest golf betting show there ever was, Long Shots. Brady, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You don't have a tournament jacket on today, so...
No, I wore my Georgia Peach shirt for you.
Georgia Peach shirt. I like it. You look very good in that.
Thank you. Nice ensemble
from Brady today. we're going to the Zurich Classic this week in New Orleans, or as you pointed out off air, technically in Avondale.
Correct.
Louisiana.
I believe it's about 20 minutes outside of New Orleans.
All right. So we have a different format this week.
Mm-hmm.
Please
explain.
Which
is kind of fun. PGA Tour mixing it up a little bit. You remember a month ago, we were in Austin, Texas for the match play event.
Yes.
And now we get something a little different, a team event. There's 160 players in the field making up 80 teams. Okay. So you really have 80 entries into the tournament.
How are the teams decided? Two guys get together?
I think
together?
They just kind of, yeah, they just get together and say, hey, let's team up for this. Really,
like,
honestly.
Hey, Brady, you want to be a team? And you'll be like, no, you suck, Gil. I don't want to be on your team.
You know, Ryan Palmer has got to be like the next Jay Wright of golf or whatever, because he's recruited Jordan Spieth as his partner, John Rahm, and now Scottie Scheffler.
Wow.
So Justin Thomas was giving him a little flack on Twitter for recruiting the best players in the world.
We were debating on primetime because we do one and done every week. We have a season-long one and done contest where the loser, the person who finishes in last, pays for dinner for both of us at the end of the year, extravagant dinner. And then we also do a draft every week. And we were debating with this format if we should just scrap the one and done this week, or if it makes it that much more interesting having to go with two guys.
Yeah, and you've got to obviously pick two guys on a team
that we haven't selected before. Which makes it a little complicated also.
Yeah, so I do believe they select their own teams because you'll see a lot of countrymen joining up together.
I see.
Buddies that are, you know, regular buddies on tour and stuff. So that's cool, too, to see the camaraderie and the team effort. It's very difficult to handicap because, you know, I equate it to football. You have a power rating or whatever for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you have a value or a rating for the Patriots, and they're going to square off, and you see where the number is, guessing lines, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Patriots and the Steelers team up against the Chargers and the Ravens, what do you do then?
So, what do you do?
You know, I can handicap Ryan Palmer against Scottie Scheffler, but when they're a team facing off against, you know, Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose, it's very difficult. So Matt Brown and I did the Long Shots podcast this week. Of course, Matt Brown from the New Orleans area, so he certainly has some course knowledge. And we kind of attacked it similarly. We looked at certain statistics and who does well in certain areas that we think are going to be important on this golf course and also for team play. And then we kind of just added up those numbers and said, okay, this team looks really strong. They have, you know, maybe these guys' skills complement one another, or they're both really good everywhere, you know, so... a little bit more of a crapshoot this week for sure. But
yeah. Here's the outright market, by the way, for those curious at the Zurich Classic. This courtesy of BetMGM. Can't land Schauffele. No surprise, really. 8-1. So are Vic Hovland and Colin Morikawa, because those are the most elite names in this that have paired up.
There's
together.
Really good players in this field. And yeah. Leishman and Smith, they're the defending champions. Sam Burns, of course, an LSU graduate. Billy Horschel. Before this was a team event, Billy Horschel won this at this course as a normal stroke play event. He's also won it as a team event paired with Scott Piercy. I believe it was 2018. So Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and myself are all on the team of Sam Burns and Billy Horschel. We got them at 12-1, and you know from experience with Matt and myself and everybody else, 12-1 is usually not a price we gravitate towards, but this team just looks so loaded. They finished fourth last year, Sam Burns and Billy Horschel. So
Matt Brown loves himself some Sam Burns, too.
Of course, an LSU guy, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it's tough to not have that team on your card. Taylor Gooch and Max Homa, both of these guys ranked really high in the stats I looked at this week. Taylor Gooch, third in the field on par threes over 200 yards. Every par three on this course is better than 200 yards. And then Max Homa, first in the field in strokes gained par fives. You're going to have to make birdies. You're going to have to make a lot of birdies to win this event. And you got to be able to take advantage of par fives in the way of birdies, in my opinion.
Did you mention this already, that Thursday, Saturday is different from Friday, Sunday?
Right. So Thursday and Saturday, they will play best ball, and that's not a scramble. A lot of people confuse those two things. Each player in a best ball will play their own golf ball from tee to until they hole it out. And whichever of the two team members has the lower score, that becomes your team score.
Okay.
So if player A makes a four and player B makes a three, a three is what you put on your card. That's what your team gets.
Gotcha.
So it's the better ball of the two. Okay. And then Friday and Sunday is alternate shot. And this is kind of interesting. It's predetermined. So if you putt out on hole number one, I am not necessarily teeing off on hole number two. It's predetermined that Gil is going to tee off on all the odd numbers holes, and I'm going to tee off on all the even numbered holes.
I see. Okay.
And so that's very strategic. With these par threes at over 200 yards, you're going to put your best iron player on the par threes, which three of the four are on odd numbered holes.
You think the players enjoy this kind of event?
I think they do.
Just absolutely.
As
a change of pace?
It's $1 million, I believe, to each winner.
They enjoy that. To each winner. So $2 million and they split it.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Man.
FedEx Cup points. I mean, it's basically like a normal tour event.
We would have to mess around with that in our one and done also. We would probably have to split the purse as well, for because that's how we tally up, right?
There
based
you go.
On the purse.
Right. Yeah.
So we would have to mess around with that as well. So you ended up with on Burns and Horschel. Anything else?
Burns and Horschel, Taylor Gooch, Max Homa, Harold Varner III, and Bubba Watson. This is kind of an interesting camaraderie type pairing.
Mm-hmm.
It was back in January in Saudi Arabia that Bubba Watson was up by the flag waiting for Harold Varner to putt, figuring he was headed for a playoff, and Harold Varner nailed a 90-foot putt to win the tournament, and Bubba walked away a loser.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of fun that they're paired together. Bubba makes a lot of birdies. Harold Varner's been playing great golf lately, so I took a shot with them at 25-1. The Chilean contingent, both from Santiago, Chile, Mito Pereira and Joaquin Niemann, I took them at 25-1. Both great ball strikers, both excellent short games. Keegan Bradley and Brendan Steele. These guys are both great off the tee, great ball strikers. They've both had success at the American Express, which employs another Pete Dye design, which TPC Louisiana is. And these guys finished fourth here last year, so they've got experience in prior years as a team before. I think they'll do well. Patton Gazire and JT Poston. This is a St. Simon's Island, Sea Island contingent here. These guys both practice down there in Georgia. They both love the Bermuda grass putting surface. They've both had good finishes at the American Express, so I like that team there. Both good short games. And then Team Canada, Team Adam. Adam Hadwin and Adam Svensson.
Ooh.
Adam Hadwin is really Mr. American Express. He's had four top six finishes there in La Quinta. Of course, the stadium course, they play two out of the four rounds there. That's a Pete Dye design. Both really good on approach and have had a number. These two guys combined have had five top 10 finishes on the PGA Tour this year.
Okay, and no head-to-heads, you just did outright?
I actually did do one head-to-head. I took Keegan Bradley and Brendan Steele at minus 145 over Graham McDowell and Seamus Power.
What would be the greatest VSiN pairing of hosts if we had a all-star event like this? What would be the golf pairing? You and Humans?
I know Dave Ross is a pretty good golfer.
Oh, is he? Dave Ross, yeah.
Humans is pretty good, yeah. I guess Wes used to play, but
You're missing.
Apparently,
it
doesn't play too often.
It's
anymore.
Ben Wilson.
I forgot about Ben. And Dan Miller, our producer for the weekends, and works with Paulie and Mitch in the morning. He plays a lot. Brian Rogers plays as good.
Oh, Brian Rogers, yeah. Ben Wilson, put a stick in that guy's hand. Doesn't matter what sport.
I think it's a Ben Wilson Brady Cannon or Ben Wilson Brian Rogers combo.
Yeah,
that's what I think we're going at. Okay. We're humans. I don't know. Yeah. It's hard, Gil.
Yeah. Who would you would, does Matt Brown play?
I would imagine Matt Brown plays.
Me too.
I would imagine, but I don't know how often he
would
gets
probably
to.
Be, you know, if Matt again, Brown we're was recruiting a, teammates and we're choosing our, he'd probably be your parent.
He pitched at LSU, I believe.
Oh, really?
To some extent, yeah. He talks about how Ricky Weeks took him deep. that's the highlight of his career.
I would also lower my risk on this type of tournament. It's much more random than a regular stroke play event.
Should be fun to watch, though. Little trickier handicap.
Yeah, fun to watch for sure. Trickier handicap as well.
Okay. Brady, stick around if you want to. Jeff Schwartz joins us next. NFL Draft Thoughts next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You could trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. One glaring omission, Jeff, on our golf or VSiN golf pairings?
Yes. Josh Towers has to be on the list. Not even a doubt.
No question about it. On a day when all kinds of random stuff has entered the show, Rob Manfred on in-game betting, Woj's thoughts, ridiculous as they were, on what's afoot with vitriotic nature between fans and then players these days. We left out a couple things. One, about the Pelicans and the Suns. So Chris Paul games now. Scott Foster reffed games that involve Chris Paul. Chris Paul now 0-14 in Scott Foster reffed games, but I would argue last night's game had nothing to do with that.
Well, nothing to do with Foster. It had to do with Booker getting hurt and then Brandon Ingram not missing a shot the whole fourth quarter.
And the Pelicans going 17 of 30 from behind the arc, 56.7%. And then the other big news was in tennis that Wimbledon will bar players from Russia and Belarus from playing in the tournament, according to multiple reports, because of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, a decision that will affect two of the world's highest-ranked players. Now, the two highest-ranked players that they're talking about is the current men's world number one, Novak Djokovic. Remember, Daniil Medvedev is now number two. It will affect Daniil Medvedev's appearance at Wimbledon, Daniil Medvedev from Russia. The reason I bring up Djokovic is the thinking is, well, if Medvedev's out, might not be a big deal at Wimbledon because that's Djokovic's tournament to lose. Well, let me just tell you about Djokovic right now. He just lost on clay, and he's down two breaks in the first set against Laszlo Djere in Serbia right now in a clay court tournament. So And I get it. It's clay and the other's grass. But I'm not so 100% sure that Novak Djokovic is a lock to win anything. So Medvedev being ousted from that tournament by that rule would bring it down to someone else after that. So that's fascinating. And on the ladies' side, they're referring to the world's number four, Arina Sabalenka, who's from Belarus. But what a fascinating decision that individual sport athletes from those countries would get penalized like that. Fascinating development in the sport of tennis. Let's talk some NFL draft. Ladies and gentlemen, former offensive lineman in the league for the better part of a decade, and of course the host of the Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You podcast, works at SiriusXM, and of course Fox, does a lot of Pac-12 stuff. It's Jeff Schwartz. How you doing, Jeff?
I am good. I heard you talking about the Scott Foster stat with Chris Paul. How about this one I saw last night? The Atlanta Hawks are 0-41 against the spread this year in games they've lost. They've yet to cover one loss this season.
0-41 against the spread in games they've lost. Meaning the spread hasn't mattered at all in that. Wow, interesting.
That's wild, right?
That is a
How's that possible?
That's an amazing stat. It's an amazing stat. But they're one of those teams also where it's like because of the volatile nature of them, right? They could, when they lose bad, but you know they're capable of rising up in any one of these games. Although the Heat behind 45 from Jimmy Butler yesterday took them down at the end. That was just unbelievable. So Jeff, here's what we need. We need some guidance from you because I've done extremely well. Many of us have, but I've had a complete domination of the NFL draft with betting through the years. It has been awesome. This year, though, I have to tell you, I don't know if I'm winning because we're 8 days before this draft and nothing has appeared more vague than this coming NFL draft. What is your best sort of intel right now, what you thinking is going to happen at the top of the draft? Let's start there with picks 1, 2, and 3, maybe.
Oh, man, I have no idea. The other day, I took Aiden Hutchinson to go number 2 overall. Probably the value of number 1 now, I think, is lost, right? I mean, it's a heavy juice number, no matter what the rumors are. Let me back up a second. There's two types of mock drafts, right? There's a mock draft where people are just kind of guessing, right? They have their big boards are laying out, they're doing it. And there's some mock drafts where the guys that are doing it are kind of like doing it based off of what they hear, right? And so enough people that I trust to talk to NFL people think that Walker's going number 1. So I took Aiden Hutchinson, like, it was like plus 300 to go number 2. So, I mean, I sprinkle on that a little bit. I put Kenny Pickett at first quarterback, taking it 6, the Panthers. I think that David Tepper, he wants to win now, and unless they go like tackle now and then Baker Mayfield, they need a quarterback. I mean, Sam Darnold's not the guy, and I'm not sure Kenny Pickett is as well, but he's probably the guy they're going with. I mean, Willis is just too much of a risk, in my opinion, to take him at 6 overall for a staff that kind of needs someone to come in early and play at least okay. That's where I bet on Pickett, and it's just hard, man. I think I saw a Trevor Penning number today for the offensive tackle in Northern Iowa at 16.5. Like, that number is, I think he goes before 16 or at 16 to the Saints, the way they see Groves, but I think the numbers this year feel really good, especially the draft, where, as you mentioned, there's just so much unknown.
By the way, clarifying the Hawks thing. According to ESPN, the Hawks are 0-41 against the spread in losses this season, 0-22 ATS as an underdog. That's unbelievable.
Crazy, right?
Wow. Wow. Missed that. So, okay. Do you believe, because I have 7 bets right now, 2 of them are about wide receivers and quarterbacks, right? I'm over on wide receivers at 6, plus 140. I'm over on quarterbacks at 3, minus 115. My thinking here on this is, and we, again, on the cusp of hearing, you know, not on the cusp, but on the heels rather of hearing that Deebo Samuel now wants out of San Francisco. It's just that NFL front offices would want more than ever before to have wideouts and quarterbacks on these rookie deals. I don't think I can, you know, if I lose those bets, tip of the cap, but I don't think I'm wrong for leaning in that direction on both of those positions.
Before we get to water, you got a flat 3 for quarterbacks, not 3.5.
Say again? No, I have it at 3.
Okay, that's good. I saw a 3.5 today, and I was like, yeah, that's. I would take the under on that. I think 3 is the right number for quarterbacks. The question becomes, obviously, the fourth quarterback would be like at 32 with the Lions, right?
Right.
Like that's the one where I think
right.
is the one that, you know, you get a pass rusher at 2, and then at 32, let's say Desmond Ridder is still there. And most people agree that he's maybe the most ready, but not as much upside as the other guys. And so why not just take Desmond Ridder? And then you get one more year of player control, right, the fifth year there. Wide receiver, I think you're right there, because if you look at the back, especially the back half of the draft, right, so if you expect, you know, Drake London and Wilson and Olave and, you know, to go really early in the draft, and then you have, obviously, you have Dotson and you have Treylon Burks, right, who else am I? I'm probably forgetting a couple guys as well. But you look at the Packers and you look at the Chiefs, like they're for sure taking wide receivers, right? So all these guys are off the board early at the top of the draft, and you have teams that need wide receivers desperately at the bottom of the draft. So I like wide receivers in a big way in this draft. You know, I could see 5. I don't know what number is for defensive ends. I mean, you're going to get 5 at least, and you might have a team like the Chiefs who reach for 1 at 30. Like, I think there could be 6 defensive ends taken. I don't know what the number is now. That feels like a position that could go very quickly in the draft. Maybe 7. Maybe Kansas City reaches for a 7th guy because they just desperately need pass rush at 30. So I think defensive end, wide receiver, offensive line is interesting. There's, I think the number is at 7.5. That's a pretty good number. I wouldn't touch that one.
No running backs will get drafted in the first round? Do you believe that?
Who's drafting running back in the first round? Like that's the question, right? Is
yeah.
Which team at the back half of the first round is doing it? Not many that I can think of that need that guy right now. I don't see that happening though.
I think that's going to be 0 as well. So in the end, because of like the 8 teams have 2 picks, and we only have 30 seconds here, Jeff. But do you think there's going to be a flurry of trades in the end on draft day?
I think that a lot of teams want to trade back. I don't know how many teams want to trade up. Like, that's what it comes down to, right? Like, there's not those players that I think you give up a first-round pick next year to draft this year. And so, I mean, Carolina would love to move back at 6, but who's going to move up to 6? Like, for who?
Right.
A quarterback? I don't see it. So, I think that's the concern is who you trading up for. Plenty of teams want to trade back. I just don't see those guys in this draft.
Houston's got to trade back at 3, that's for sure. Jeff, we appreciate it. Sorry it's so short. We appreciate you making the time, though.
All right, take care, bud.
Jeff Schwartz, everybody. At Jeff Schwartz, G-E-O-F-F, on Twitter.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Taylor Swift's new album. Will or won't it be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $10 bonus to the first 500 people who sign up by going to Kalshi.com/numbersgame, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I. There's no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.